Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
All right. No music going into you. We're just going to start it up. So, Bob, let me know when I can start.
That's a shame. I get no music.
Hello, everybody. And we begin with no music, as you heard my guest just say, because we want to spend every moment we can talking about some important issues. Welcome to Behind the Curtain. This is WGN-TV's Paul Listening. And I am so happy to be spending this show with, you know, all kidding aside, one of the oldest people I know, and but also one of my oldest friend and an expert. You all know him in Chicago. I don't even have to say his name. Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't even say your name. We'll just see if by the end they figure out who you are. But you may listen to him on, I guess I have to say this, Steve Bales, Bet World on WGN Radio on Sunday mornings at 5:30. Is it now, Steve? 5:30?
Yeah. That's the pet show. And then I'm on in the afternoon. Steve Bales, Other World on WGN at 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon.
And not to mention all the podcasts and the national shows and all that you do. People can go to your website and just and live with you. If anybody who loves animals and other stuff, you have to know Steve Dale. I bring you up everywhere I go. So thanks for being with me. I thought it would be fun to just do a podcast where you and I get to talk and just insult each other right here.
Well, it's about time. I mean, I've had you on the radio with me, so it's fair enough that if I can have you on my show, I need to be on yours, you know?
Yeah, this is very true. So I do want to turn to a congratulations to you because Springfield has now ended its session. Well, more or less, they don't ever seem to go home, but they ended their session. And why don't you let our listeners know of the great news there is when it comes to just kind of cleaning up the act of adopting dogs and cats?
Well, it is great news. You know, I'm fine. Pet stores are really important. That's where we get our dog food, cat food. It's you can order online these days, but I'm happy to support the stores. They sell all sorts of products. They sell everything from leashes to bowls to drink water from to these days designer wear, coats and sweaters, and maybe your favorite sports team and your dog can wear it, maybe even your cat. All of that is wonderful, but when they sell dogs and cats, that's where I draw the line. I'm not talking about adopting from legitimate, responsible shelters and rescues. That's great. I am talking about the pet stores that sell dogs and cats, because no responsible breeder, Paul, ever, ever, ever sells to a pet store. I've not heard of one responsible breeder because responsible breeders, for starters, they want to know who's purchasing their animal. And you should see the place where the animal was bred from, ideally. And none of that can happen at a pet store. So what are we talking about? We're talking about large facilities that mass produce animals, which include but are not limited to puppy mills. And supporting puppy mills is just something that the public some number of years ago said, we're sick of this. The public officials aren't doing anything. We need to do something. So quite organically online, a bunch of folks got together and worked at this. And community by community, I think Albuquerque, New Mexico was the first. Chicago, via the Puppy Mill Project, was an early adopter of saying no dogs, no cats, in Chicago also no rabbits can be sold at pet stores. We just want to stop the pipeline of puppy mills from coming into Chicago. Now, several states have followed, lots of counties. So now there's up to like 400 cities, dozens of counties, and four states that have said officially, no dogs or cats sold at pet stores. Now, what you are referring to and what I am so excited about and I'm very proud of, Illinois is likely to be the fifth state. The House of Representatives, the Senate have both quite bipartisanly, actually. It's a word people don't use a lot anymore, I don't think, but it was bipartisan, where they voted, okay, no dogs, no cats sold at pet stores. Now we're just waiting for the governor, Governor J.B. Pritzker, to sign it. He has been a very humane governor, so he's very much expected to sign this. I suppose it's not over till it's over, but it's great. Illinois would be the fifth state.
So let me ask you, I mean, is obviously what this does is one consequence is it hopefully sends everybody who wants a dog to one of the huge number of shelters, the Anti-Cruelty Society. You can go on and on with the number of shelters just even in the Chicago area, but everywhere you go. And of course, it makes more sense to save a life by adopting a dog. And yes, you can adopt puppies, and there's just no reason not to do it that way. But out of curiosity, was there any way that a breeder who's a qualified breeder, a humane breeder, is there any way that if they had sold to a pet store, it would have been okay? Was there a proper way to do it, or there's just no proper way to do it because you can't control it?
Well, first of all, to be clear, you can still certainly get a dog, as you point out, by going to a brick and mortar facility like Anti-Cruelty Society or Chicago Canine Rescue or Treehouse Animal Society, not to get a dog because they only have cats, but that's cool. You can also absolutely go online and go to one of the many rescues out there, and hopefully that rescue is legitimate because some are not, and that's fine. This does not touch hobby breeders. So if you're a breeder of Irish Setters or Cocker Spaniels or Golden Retrievers, whatever your breed is, you can still continue to do that, and you can still sell animals like you always have, or Maine Coon cats for that matter. That has not changed at all. What I have suggested before is that hobby breeders be welcomed into pet stores on, say, a weekend where that pet store has a Newfoundland breeder, a Labrador breeder, and an American Cocker Spaniel breeder there. And they all bring examples of their dogs with them. And they do this at dog shows, too. And they all have rescues, by the way. Every purebred dog breed has a rescue. And that they come into the store. They don't adopt or sell at the store, but you can ask questions about the breed. This breed is hard to house train. Really? I didn't know that. Or this breed doesn't need exercise. Well, that's a problem for me because I want to take my dog jogging every day. Whatever questions you have, you can ask questions of the breeder. And then later, work with the breeder on a one-by-one basis. But at least that way, you can be introduced to the breed, introduced to breeders. And that's a good thing. I have no issue with that. To my knowledge, that's not been tried anywhere in the country. It's my idea. Something that has been accomplished is that some pet stores that previously sold dogs and cats are now adopting on their own. The law isn't making them do this. Adopting dogs and cats. It's happening in Naperville, right here in the Chicago area at one pet store, and it's happening here and there around the country. And that has proved out to be a really good idea for these pet stores, because if you adopt a dog, then, you need a leash, you need a bowl, you need dog food, all those things that come with it that are sold at pet stores. That's not to mention, as you did, and I think I did again, the pet stores that currently adopt out animals from places like Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago or Paw Chicago or Chicago Canine Rescue or whatever the shelter may be.
Yeah. Is there, when you started to talk about that, I thought of when I want to donate money to charity, as I do every year, you can go to something called Charity Navigator and just find out how legit the charity is and how much of it goes to administrative costs and, you know, all that. Is there a resource, a website, a place for people to check out a breeder or a source of a pet if they're going to get it? Is there some kind of universal source?
No, I kind of wish there was, but there is not.
Okay, well, there's something we can start.
And they're not not-for-profits necessarily. So you go to Charity Navigator and you can look up a not-for-profit. I think that not-for-profit has to, quote-unquote, earn, I don't know how much, $100,000, whatever the amount of money is to even appear on Charity Navigator. But if they do, sure, you can check them out there. But these are not-for-profits anyway. But I wish there was a way. I wish maybe I was against this at one point. I'm not so sure I am anymore, in theory, that breeders be licensed. But that's not an easy thing. I mean, who's going to administer all this, you know? And right. And what expertise do they have? And who's going to pay for all that? So I'm not sure that's a practical idea.
Yeah, it would probably end up just being pay your fee to the city, right? Or get your license
from
the state.
Yeah, but, you know, the city really has. I mean, if you're a private breeder, you're I mean, why should the city be involved? Of course, the city would want money for it, you know. But they should they be administering what private breeders do? I don't think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. I want to shift a little bit to you because this has been some national news. We didn't talk ahead of time that I was going to ask you about this, but, you know, the feral cat program, the notion of bringing cats into different neighborhoods, and that's been around for a long time. But I was kind of surprised to see that at least on some of the conservative media channels, they were attacking Chicago for that program for a host of reasons. What is your take on that? Is it a good thing?
Oh, it's a great thing. You know, it's humorous to me. So I was on the board of Treehouse Humane Society when I don't know how many years ago it was, Treehouse, which already was doing what is called trap, neuter, return, vaccinate, or trap, neuter, vaccinate, return. And what that means is you're taking a cat that's outdoors anyway. They're out there anyway. No one is putting these cats outside. And there are estimated to be approximately half as many to twice as many cats that are unowned in America outside as cats that are owned. So that's a lot of cats that are out there anyway. And that's been the case now for thousands of years. The idea of cats living outside, making their own living, if you will, is not a new one. It continues to happen not only in America, but around the world. So what do you do about that? You know, I mean, you want to solve this problem. Well, one can argue that after being around for as long as they've been around in communities, that they now serve a purpose. And there is some truth to that. They serve as ratters, for example. But above and beyond that, for the most part, because they can and do kill wildlife, you want to control the population numbers also for health reasons. They can carry rabies. Do they in the real world carry rabies? Very, 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 that's very, very rare. Very, very, very rare. The cats do that are outdoor cats or that we would have any interaction with them to know that the cat would. All that aside, yes, you want to control their numbers. It's the right thing to do. Now, lots of things have been tried. Poisoning has been tried. Just stick out poison. And communities still do that. The problem with that, there are many problems with that. First of all, many of the cats figure out it's poison. Even the ones who don't, okay, so you're getting some of them. The colony, cats always live in colonies. You know, the idea of cats being solitary creatures is just untrue. They almost always, anyway, live in colonies with other cats. And when the colonies get small, they reproduce like rabbits. Actually, quite literally. And what kicks in is the females begin to reproduce and the numbers build up even higher to what the number. So if you reduce the cat colony by 10% by doing what I describe, then what happens is they're induced ovulators. And what happens is the colony increases in a matter of a few months by 10%. So that doesn't work. Also, you're poisoning potentially other animals who live in the community, even little toddlers who could get into that poison. And besides, if I'm talking about a problem that's been around for, what, thousands of years, and that's been tried and tried and tried again, and other things have too, everything from shooting the cats to bringing them in shelter, catch as many as you can, bring them inside an animal shelter, and then euthanize them. Not so humanely. None of that works.
I'm talking about not so much the cat control, because what you just told about scares me, but I'm talking about the rats. I'm sorry, the cats that are brought into neighborhoods for rat control and for all of that and that kind of program. That's part of what the conservative media was going after. And by the way, as you know, there were a couple of feral cats part of that program in my neighborhood. I won't say names. The woman who took care of them moved, and so they were then taken care of by somebody else down the street, and she broke up with her boyfriend and basically found two homes for the cats. So what were feral cats, one of them had gotten injured, you know, we don't know how, but something had gotten, had attacked it. But now both of those cats have become house cats for other families, which I think is an amazing story.
Yeah, that's terrific, you know, but you cannot take the average feral cat, if the cat is truly feral, that has lived outdoors its entire life, is not socialized to humans, and bring that cat inside a home. It is unfair. It's not a humane thing to do. Yes, over a course of time, if you follow certain protocols, absolutely, some of those cats, a small percent, can become wonderful house pets. Others over time will bond with individual people. Okay, those are the people feeding the cat outside, and that's what happened probably in this case. So he or she was feeding the cat outside on a regular basis, and eventually the cat got closer, the people got closer, you were able to pet the cat at some point, et cetera, et cetera. Trust was built up, a human-animal bond was created, and they were able, hooray, that's a good thing, to take the cat indoors, especially for these older cats who may not make it through a Chicago winter. All of that yeah. is wonderful. However, we do have, Chicago's the rattiest city. And again, this goes back to when I was on the Treehouse board. So I was on the Treehouse board when the idea of trap, neuter, vaccinate, return, which is what I thought you were asking me about, came about in a big, big way. I was on the board when an employee had this notion, and they were perhaps thinking about doing it in Los Angeles. I don't know if Los Angeles was the first or Chicago was the first, but the idea was, okay, let's use these cats that are outdoors anyway to control rat numbers. Well, Chicago does happen to be, by Orkin, I think the fourth or fifth year in a row now, the rattiest city in America. Hooray! Rats actually do carry disease. They carry a variety of diseases. One big one is leptospirosis. Leptospirosis, our dogs can get. Leptospirosis, we can get. Now, we're not likely, as a dog is, to walk in a puddle and lick our paws. We're not as likely as a dog is to drink from a puddle or even drink lake water, but we do. And people do get sick, not only in Chicago or Illinois, all over the country, from leptospirosis. And in fact, in other nations, it's a huge issue. Nations where people actually use the same river that their animals or that wildlife bathes in and they bathe in as well. That's not a big issue in America. But leptospirosis, as there are more and more rats in urban areas carrying this disease, and there are, is becoming more and more of a problem. But that's not the only disease rats carry. Besides, we don't want, clearly, too many rats in the environment. So the notion of taking these cats that are outside anyway, not socialized to people anyway, putting them, I don't know why it got all this attention suddenly, because the program's been around for several years now, and putting them in a place where there are rats, you know, what we know is when the cats move in, the rats move out. They often don't hunt the rats. They don't need to. Just their appearance alone, someone must put up a sign that says, the cats are here, and then the rats just mysteriously go away.
But I've read that. I don't know if it was your column or I just saw it on television, but I did see a story which basically said this is not about, you know, finding dead rats all over the place. Well, you might find them, but not because the cats are killing them, because essentially the cats being around simply sends the rats to other, I suppose, other neighborhoods.
Yeah, to some extent that's true. I mean, the cats do sometimes prey on young rats if they can catch them. They prey on mice, which we don't want either, but the rats also prey on mice. So if their food source goes away, and it can be a part of a rat food source, but they're not, you're right. I mean, we're not seeing dead rats all over the place. And, you know, a lot of these cats aren't even, yes, they're outdoor cats. Yes, they are not socialized to people, but the need for these cats include warehouses, include large storage facilities, include places where there's a rat problem, and they cannot in any way, they've tried to control the rats. So they bring in cats, and this does the job for them. So it's not only in a community. Aldermen have said to this organization, Treehouse Humane Society, come on, we need some cats here, and it really seems to work.
So, that's why I was a little surprised that it was kind of coming under attack in the conservative media. But I agree. I think it's a great program. Before we run out of time, I know you wanted to talk about fear-free and every cat health, and I want to be sure I gave you a couple of minutes to do that.
Oh, thank you. So fear-free is an initiative that minimizes fear, anxiety, and stress of a veterinary visit. That's actually how it began anyway. So we know that veterinarians for a very long time have been concerned about the medical health and well-being of our companion animals. But what about the emotional health and well-being? I mean, the idea of a carrier coming out and the cat running to the other side of the house and you needing to chase the cat all over the place, finally stuff the cat into the carrier, drive to the veterinarian where all the way the cat is screaming, help me. You arrive in the clinic and people have called that cat fractious and angry and all these. The cat is just terrified. And for dogs, I can give you a similar scenario. The dogs love going in the car very often. Dog hops into the car and at some point realizes maybe you're in the parking lot. Looks up and, oh, no, now I am where I am. You pull the dog out of your car. You drag the dog into the clinic. The hair is flying everywhere from the dog. The dog is shaking. That dog is hypersalivating. The dog is terrified. These animals, I believe, actually literally believe they are going to die. So Dr. Marty Becker said we need to do something about it, and the initiative is called Fear Free. And these veterinary clinics and veterinary professionals are certified in dealing with these issues or better, preventing them in the first place. And there are all sorts of ways now we can prevent this. Emotional health and well-being is important. Imagine feeling that you're going to die every time you went to the doctor, every time you went to the dentist or even eye doctor for that matter. It doesn't need to be that way. We can do far better. And we do know that emotional health and physical well-being are interconnected. So I love this Fear Free initiative. Once more, there's a website, fearfreehappyhomes.com. Everything there, no charge at all. And, you know, for information about our companion animals, you go on the web and you type in whatever you're typing in, heart disease in dogs, dogs that have thunderstorm anxiety, cats that are thinking outside the litter box, kidney disease in cats, whatever it is. And oftentimes you get misinformation. Hear everything on this website, written for everybody, is checked and checked and checked again by professionals. It's like a peer-reviewed journal, almost, online for the general public. It's great. FearFreeHappyHomes.com. Every Cat Health Foundation, for anyone who has a cat, anyone who's ever known a cat, anyone who's ever seen a cat, this organization has for over 50 years funded studies on cat health. And I'm honored to say that for I don't know how many years I've been on their board of directors. I guess, hundreds. Paul, they just can't get rid of me. But it's a great organization, everycat.org.
Well, we'll check that out. And you know what you say is just so true. I'm going to look at that website myself because, as you know, my dog Matthew, who's fighting cancer, still gets excited when it's time to go in the car. He gets very excited. And of course, more often than not, we're ending up at the cancer clinic where then he's shaking. And I thought, I wonder if one of these times he won't want to get in the car. So what I do is I make sure I take him to other places so that when he gets in the car, he doesn't know where we're going. But sometimes we're just going for a ride. You know, that's on my mind to try and, you know, I worry about what he's thinking. So I'm going to check that out as well. Great information, Steve, as always. And people that just, everybody knows you, but people that want to check you out, your website is imsooldishouldbedead.com. Is that right?
No, that would be yours. Mine is stevedale.tv, stevedale.tv. And this is the best interview I've ever done with you because it's the first time, Paul Lisnick, you've stayed awake through the entire interview.
You don't know that, actually, because for a while I was dozing, but no, not really. But I also want to say, Steve, I know you don't like it. You and I both have birthdays this month, so I'm just going to wish us both a happy birthday. The difference for you is that I think this is the year you go into four digits, right?
This is the year you go into hibernation.
As always, my good and old friend and favorite person on the planet, Steve Dale. Check him out on WGN Radio. Check his website. Check his blogs. Listen to his dog bark in the background. It's all good. Is that Hazel?
Yep, that's who it is. She knows I'm talking to you.
Give Hazel a hug for me. And I will talk to you soon, my friend. Thank you, Steve Dale.
Okay.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnick. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnick.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.